Matthew chapter 4, you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We'll be reading two verses in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and verse 19. I'll read verse 18 if you'll read along with me in verse 19. Matthew chapter 4, if you found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Again, Matthew chapter 4, I'll read verse 18. If you then read with me verse 19 of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And let's pray this morning. Lord, again, we thank you as we bow our heads before you this morning, and thank you for the reading of God's Word. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd pour fresh oil upon the message this morning, upon our preacher. Lord, I pray you just would bless Holy Spirit to have his free reign. Lord, no distractions, Lord, this morning we ask. Lord, be focused in on what you have for us this morning. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Touch of his consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire. I've a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's longing that has never yet been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves them so. Like a flame, it's burning deep inside. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. God to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire, to be used of God is my about the shortness of my earthly years. I remember all the wasted days, the wasted years. I long to preach the word to those who've never heard of the one who can dispel all fears. To God, to sing, to speak, to pray, to be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire.
Good song, Brother Tom. Thank you for that this morning. Let's pray together. I'm going to do something today I've only done once before in 23 years here. My message is all penned. It's right there in that notebook. It's Prayer 101, Part 3. But I'm not going to preach it this morning. I'll save it for a couple of Sundays, and I want to give you something that God has just spoken to my heart about today, been on my heart this morning and throughout the service today. And again, I've only done this twice, But this is the second time, and I know that I'm supposed to do this. So let's pray together and ask God's blessing today. Father, we're thankful to have this service. And Lord, I pray that you'll use the comments in the next several minutes to speak to hearts. Thank you so much for enabling and empowering and helping us, Lord, for these years to stay on track in this area of serving you. And Lord, I pray that you'll just do a good work in our church, continue it in the years to come, for as long as you give us life and breath or until you come for us. Help us to be faithful to you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Now, tonight in the service, I'm preaching out of John chapter 21. I'm going to be speaking about Jesus telling Peter in that chapter to follow him. Twice he told Peter, follow me. And then he said later, follow thou me. We have him telling Peter, follow me here in the early part of Jesus' public ministry. What we're going to talk about tonight is toward the latter end, if you will, of Jesus' earthly ministry after he had died on the cross and had been buried and was risen again and was meeting Peter and them on the seashore of Galilee. That's at the end of his public ministry, earthly ministry. This is at the very beginning. He walks by the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew, and they're fishermen. And they're not just out there wetting a hook for the afternoon. I like driving by the bridges in the area. And usually there's always somebody with a fishing pole and a line in the water this time of the year trying to catch a fish. But these guys weren't out there just casting a few hooks in the water for an afternoon of enjoyment. They were commercial fishermen. That's how they made their living. And when Jesus passed by them, the Bible says that he said to them, follow me. And then he said this, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. For these years, you've been fishing for fish. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. That's an honest living. I got to know some commercial fishermen in my days out in Iowa, men who made their living sometimes on the Mississippi River out there and other places, and they would fish commercially for a living. Many of you know Pastor Gomez from up in Elgin, Illinois, and before he got saved, he was a commercial fisherman and trapper and caught shrimp and fish down in the bayous of Louisiana and made a sum of money back in those days doing that. It's a good and honest form of living. Nothing wrong with it. And that's what Peter and Andrew were doing. They were fishing for fish. But Jesus said, I have a different kind of fishing for you. I have man fishing. You follow me and you're going to catch fish, but they're going to be a different kind of fish. They're going to be two-legged fish, walking fish, men who have ever-living, undying souls. I'll make you fishers of men. And it's just been on my mind and heart this morning. I suppose it started out in the newcomers class upstairs. You know, I thank the Lord for what God has done here for these 44 years through the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. As I said, a group of folks started meeting in the Bowie's basement years ago in 1968, as best as I understand it. And then sometime around this time of the year, June of 1969, maybe a little earlier, a little later, I'm not for certain, but a church was organized, and they called Pastor Tom Smith, who graduated from over here. I don't think he graduated from the school. They didn't have the school then, but he was out of the First Baptist Church in Ammon. And it's interesting, his name was Tom. He has two brothers, Terry and Tim. And my mom and dad had three boys, Terry, Tim, and Tom. But anyway, Tom came here to start this church down in Kankakee. And I can't remember all the locations. I've heard the stories. I've talked to people. I know Cottage and Fairmont and different places. And finally, a church, some land was purchased up here where we are today. And so for these 44 years, Faith Baptist Church has been in existence in the Kankakee River Valley area. Now, look, I would not even dare to say that for these 44 years, the church has never made a mistake. Never done anything that maybe earned it some criticism in the community. In my 23 years here, I've made mistakes. I've said dumb things. I may say some more today. I don't know. You never know. But I've said dumb things. We've not always. I can't say that Faith Baptist Church has always had the right spirit. I can't say that Faith Baptist Church has always had the right approach to standing for truth. But I will tell you this. I believe this with all of my heart. For 44 years here in this area, Faith Baptist Church has made a priority of going after the souls of men. They really have. They really have. They've made it a priority, going after the souls of men. Men are born, I'm talking men now, I'm talking about mankind in general. men, women, boys and girls born into this world with undying, ever-living souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. Friend, this life is not the end. I really marvel at that. Sometimes I run into folks who just believe, really, that, you know, you live this life and you go to the cemetery and you're buried and that's it. Nothing further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. There is a life after this life. There is an eternity somewhere. You will live an eternal life in heaven or you will live an eternal life in hell. One of the two. And for that reason, Faith Baptist Church made a decision a long time ago, long before I got here. Faith Baptist Church made a decision to make the salvation of souls a priority in its ministry. That's why you see the boards on the walls in the foyer in the hallway out here. And people ask sometimes, how many missionaries do you support? I don't know. I should know. I suppose I should know that exact number, be able to just rattle it off. I think it's in the area of 178, 182. It's either the late 170s or the early 180s. And somewhere in that area, missionaries a month we support, we send money to. And they're all over this world. You can go down the hallway and the foyer here and look at the countries listed there over and over again. They're all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church has made it a priority not only to go abroad with the gospel, but to be active in the community with the gospel. Because that was the command that Jesus gave the church. Back in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he takes those disciples out to the Mount of Olives and he's getting ready to leave for heaven. And the last thing he says to that group of believers, the last thing he says to them, he says, you're going to receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And he said four things there. He said in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, friend, listen very carefully. There's an important word in that verse, four letters, B-O-T-H. It's an enclitic particle. And it means all at the same time. When he said you're to be a witness to me in Jerusalem and then in all Judea, he didn't mean you leave Jerusalem and go to all Judea. And then he did, when he added Samaria, he didn't mean you leave Judea and just go to Samaria. And he said the uttermost part of the earth. He didn't mean that you leave Samaria and go to the uttermost part of the earth. He meant that the church needs to be a witness for Christ in Jerusalem and at the same time in all Judea and at the same time in Samaria and at the same time to the uttermost part of the earth. And you know, the churches sometimes get unbalanced in certain areas and they throw all their money and all their attention and all their concern and care into foreign missions. And missions is important. Foreign missions is vitally important. Some churches don't even have a missions program when it comes to foreign countries. Don't send any money to support missionaries. All their money is spent at home, reaching their community. Friend, look, the right balance is to continue to be a witness in Jerusalem, which is Kankakee River Valley area for this church. And all Judea, which is the Midwest United States. And we're trying to plant churches in the state of Illinois and be a witness that way. Brother Caleb will leave tomorrow morning with about six other men here in the church, boys and men, and go down to Quincy and hold a vacation Bible school for Brother Jason down there, who started a church a little over a year ago in Quincy. And so we're in our Jerusalem, and we're in our Judea, and we're in Samaria, this hemisphere, if you will, the North American continent, if you will. We're in the area. And then we're around the world, the uttermost part of the earth. And that's the commission that God gave to the church. Take the gospel, be a witness for Jesus Christ everywhere, in your home area, and then as far away as you can send it. We have missionaries 10,000 miles away from this place this right now who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, to people who need to hear it. And I'm just saying that the witnessing for Christ and the reaching of souls has been a priority. I can't tell you how many folks. Recently on a Wednesday night, no, excuse me, on a Tuesday night, Jake Payne and I were out. We were coupled up together that night. And we went out visiting in Kankakee, down by the new truck stop and everything, down by the Greyhound bus station down there, little road that has some houses on it there. And we just went door knocking. We didn't find many people at home. Found a lot of empty the people that not home. Did talk to a few people at the end of the street outdoors and signed up a couple of prospects. I don't know if they ever came, but we signed them up. Last house we knocked on, little fella came to the door, a man, short man, and he was friendly, and he invited us in. and told us his name, and got to talking with him there a little bit. And I said, well, listen, I said, the most important thing is not where you go to church. He said, you go, no, I don't go to church. I watch a lot of things on television. I watch a lot of preachers, and I've even give some money to folks on television. And I said, well, the most important thing is not where you go to church, sir, but where you'll spend eternity. Do you know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven? And he said, yes, sir, I'm saved. I said, wow. He said, yeah, I got saved and baptized. And I said, that's wonderful. Where did you get saved? He said, well, there was a family lived across the street over here by the name of Sandusky. And they used to pick us up and take us to church on a bus. And that they had hot dogs, and they had some other things at the church. And I went and I got saved, and I got baptized. I think he said baptized. I can't remember if he said baptized. I got baptized. And he said, you know, I went Sunday morning, Sunday night. I said, Wednesday night. I said, where was this church? And he said, oh, somewhere over in that cottage Fairmont area over there. And it was Faith Baptist Church. Literally rode to church, rode the bus to church. 40 years ago, rode the bus to church and got saved as a boy, and still to this day knows that he's on his way to heaven. And you know what? I wish the man was in church. I don't think Jesus ever intended for his children to get their preaching from a television set. Now, that's just my opinion. And I believe I can back it up biblically. Okay? I think he ought to be in church. But you know what? At least he knows when he leaves this old world where he's going. Amen. And there's some spiritual interest there because he's watching those preachers on television. And look, that story could be told countless times. I wish we could have kept all these years. You know, it started out with Brother Tom Smith, and then Gary Martin was the pastor. I wrote about this in your bulletin this week. Gary Martin was the pastor that under his leadership, they bought this piece of ground out here in Bourbonnais, when Bourbonnais was just a cow town, honestly. And I mean just a cow town, and bought this 8 acres here. And boy, was God ever in that. Amen. And on this main thoroughfare now here in Bourbonnais. And then put a little building here. And then Bob Gray came, and they built the building that was over there years ago. And then he was here. And then Tim Starr did a wonderful job here for 10 years, 10 good years, solid years, a church, solid church. And then I came 23 years ago in the first Sunday of June, 1990. And you know what? they have made, us five men, the five of us pastors, have made all kinds of mistakes and been all kinds of, I know, wrong in some ways, I'm sure, down through the years. But one thing I think the leadership of the church has tried to do is keep the church focused on getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Get folks to hear the gospel. Get folks to hear the gospel through the buses. You ought to go out door to door with us sometime. It's exciting, and it's also interesting. I remember one time, I think I was with Brother Mike Johnson. We were over here in the Gettysburg Civil War section of Bourbonnais over here. You know those streets that are named over there, you know? When I'm talking, that's what it was, wasn't it? With Concord. Oh, it was no Revolutionary War. It was Concord and all the streets over there. And so we're going door to door, and we're walking up. I'm talking about the streets that are named after the Civil War or the other war. I'm not talking about Bourbonnais was in existence then. I'm talking about the streets that were named after it, okay? So we're walking up to the door, walking up the driveway, coming down the sidewalk. It's summertime. The windows are open. The doors are open. And before we get to the porch, it's those people from Faith Baptist again. And, you know, we hadn't even knocked on the door. We hadn't even introduced ourselves. But so many people down through these years have knocked on these doors and been up and down these sidewalks and knocked on these houses over and over and over again, representing not only Jesus Christ, but this church, that people have come to associate that with with Faith Baptist Church. And you know what? I guess if we're known for anything, it'd be for knocking on doors and passing out tracts and interrupting people's evenings at home. But if we're going to be known for something, I'd just soon be known for that. Amen. Getting after sinners. Now, I was looking around the room during the song service this morning, and I see person after person after person after person after person after person whose life has changed because they got saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life has changed. Unbelievable. And people at all levels of spiritual growth after they get saved, not everybody grows at the same rate. Not everybody goes the same distance. I'm going to tell you something. I've said it many, many times. I'm not near as concerned about the distance people go as I am the direction they're traveling. You get some people who get saved, they shoot out of the gate. Man, they're going a long distance, but then their hearts begin to get cold. And they may be pointing the right direction, pointing that direction, but they're headed the wrong way. They're sliding back. And other folks get saved, and it's just a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time. It's a blessing to be in the newcomers class and see Brother Caleb say, okay, turn to such and such. And some people have to turn to their index and find, okay, now where is that book in the Bible? That's precious. That's huge. That's immense. Because here's somebody who the Bible didn't play a role in their life, and now they've been saved. And boy, turn to the Scripture and look at the index and find the page and then turn to it. And then Brother Caleb is asking questions and they're responding. And, you know, sometimes you have to help them find a book in the Bible. And, you know, it's the most exciting thing in all the world to see people get saved and start coming to church and a smile on their face and a new life through in Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it in all this world. I enjoyed that this morning so much. So much. The lesson in the class was on the Bible, on the Word of God. And I'll tell you, I tell people this often, friend, that Jesus saves you, washes your sins away, forgives you, but the Bible will change your life. Change your life. And to see these folks come in and start learning the Bible and just scattered across this room this morning. Now, there are some here this morning who were saved under the ministry of Tom Smith. There's folks here this morning. If Tom Smith was your pastor for a period of time, would you stand up, please? If Tom Smith was your pastor for a period of time, would you stand up? Okay, look at here now. Look, all right. Now, look, folks, these folks have been around here a long, long time. Okay? A long, long time. If Tom Smith, the founding pastor, God bless you, folks. Be seated. That's wonderful. All right. Now, you can find some. We just had Brother Jack's home going. And I don't know if it was Tom Smith or a man from the church who won you to Christ. It was Tom Smith that came to your house, Dorothy, and led Dorothy to the Lord. And then the girls were coming on the bus. There it is. The girls were coming on the bus, and the pastor went to the house and sat down with Dorothy Lewis, Tom Smith, and led her to Christ. And she brings Brother Jack, but it wasn't Brother Jack at that time, brings Jack Lewis to church, and Jack gets saved. And now just days ago, slipped off to heaven, 82 years of age, lived his life for the Lord because God saved him. Amen. Changed his life. And others of you folks were saved during the Gary Martin years here. And other folks saved during Bob Gray's year here. And then some folks saved during Tim Starr's year. And then over the years, God has brought in people who are already saved and moved in from the area or out from outside the area. Sometimes the church goes liberal and they want to come to a church that's more conservative and traditional. They come and join. And it's been a wonderful thing. But folks, the number one emphasis has been the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting that message of salvation out to every person who will listen. And let me ask you a question this morning. Is there anything more important? Now, we have a food bank and help people with physical food, and I'm glad for that. I'm not against that. We try to help people in other areas of physical need from time to time. But friend, if Faith Baptist Church could put every resident of Kankakee, Bradley, and Bourbonnais in a mansion and stock their cupboards full of food, and put a fine car in their garage, and put money in their bank, and set them up materially to never have another need in this life, and never tell them about Jesus Christ, we would be doing them a horrible disservice. Because Jesus asked a question. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, I want to tell you something, friend. People look at Bill Gates Steve Jobs when he was alive with Apple, all these movers and shakers and the financial Robert Murdoch and Warren Buffett out here. I sat next to an airplane pilot on a flight years ago who flies for NetJets, I believe is the name of it, and it's owned by Warren Buffett. And it's a high dollar, high-end airplane service that transports entertainers and professional athletes that can afford that kind of thing. And I mean, the guy said there's only a few of us around the world. But you take all those guys, Warren Buffett and Steve Jobs Gates. Yeah, I just said that a moment ago. Listen, do you understand that with all that stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of money, If they die without Christ, they have gained nothing. Folks, think about that for a minute. Don't just let that go in one ear and out there. Think of all the work and the toil and the labor and burning the oil at both ends of the day and night. Think of all that goes into building that kind of a conglomeration, a financial enterprise. And come down to the end and be separated from God forever in the place called hell. What did it matter? When the poorest peasant in Madagascar, where Ben and Ashley are this morning, where they shuffle the little ducks into their house and sleep in the same little room with the ducks because they have nothing. But they're saved. And they come to the end of their life and they leave this world and they enter into heaven's glory. Friend, it won't matter a hill of beans that they had nothing down here. Because this is not the most important thing. It's the life to come. And the salvation of souls and the message of the gospel has been the priority, the matter that Faith Baptist Church has made, I hope, number one. It has to be. It must continue to be. There is no greater message than God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We need this message to go out today. Yes. I will agree that in general, people as a whole are less receptive to hear the gospel than they used to be. But that doesn't mean that there's not a man and that there's not a woman, that there's not a teenage young man or young woman or boy or girl somewhere who will sit and listen if somebody gets to them with the gospel. Everybody needs to hear the gospel message. The gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on the old rugged cross so that we might be forgiven and saved from our sins. Our sin. Born with that sin. We came into the world with our sin. I have never met somebody who told me I'm not a sinner, but I have met people who told me I'm not that bad a sinner. And usually the reason they say that is because they haven't killed somebody, they haven't been on drugs, or some what they consider to be big sin. They've lived a pretty good life in comparison to everybody else. But friend, we're not sinners because of what we do. We're sinners because of what we are in our hearts. We've all lied. We've all disobeyed. We've all broken God's commandments. All of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, because of our sin against God, we are under the penalty of our sin, where the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And it's not talking just about physical death. Your body goes into the ground and it's over. It's talking about spiritual death as well, because life leaves the body. That's the first death. And then when that life is separated from God forever in the place called hell, that's the second death. The Bible defines that very clearly in Revelation 21 and 20. That death and hell is the lake of fire. This is the, the second death is the lake of fire. Very, very plain in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is what happens to people who die owing their sin payment. This is what happens. And this is why we need to understand about our sin. Our sin is against God. It is wrong. And it carries with it a humongous price. A humongous penalty. You say, Pastor, I don't understand how a loving God could send somebody to hell. That's an awful punishment. Just for this little matter of sin. It's not a little matter. Often I have used the illustration that if I am a private in the army and I punch another private in the mouth, I probably will have to run some laps. I may have to do some push-ups, but that's about it. If I punch a sergeant in the mouth, I'm going to have to do more than run laps and do push-ups. If I hit a captain in the mouth, I'm probably going to be dishonorably discharged. If I were to try to strike a general, Who knows what would happen? You mean the same action, but more severe consequences of punishment from the same action? Why is it hitting a private like hitting a general? Why is it hitting a captain like hitting a sergeant? Because of the rank. Now, who's higher than God? Our sin is against the highest. And because of that, we deserve the worst kind of punishment. And this is the condemnation that we are under. Everybody is under. I'm not talking about just the people outside the church. I'm talking about every person born into this world. We're under the condemnation, the judgment of our sin. Ah, but praise God, friend. Jesus came and died on that cross, shed His blood so that we might be saved through the shedding of His blood. Perfect blood, sinless blood, righteous blood. And He didn't shed it for Himself. He shed it for all of mankind. He gave His life so that we might enjoy life on that cross. Then He was buried to prove He was dead. He was buried. 3 days and three nights He was in that tomb. But after that third night, He got up and He walked out of that tomb to prove that He was the Son of God with power. He's alive today. He sits at the Father's right hand. He's coming back. He said He would. There were over 700 prophecies in the Old Testament about His birth in Bethlehem. All of them became fulfilled in the birth of Christ. There are more prophecies about His second coming than His first coming. So I wouldn't bet against it. Well, I've heard some people say foolish things. Well, you know, I just feel like this. We're all traveling a different road. And all the roads are going to end up at the same place. That is the most goofy thing I've ever heard in my life. Folks, that's not true about getting to San Francisco, California. That's not true about getting to Dallas, Texas. I can't just start on any road and end up in Dallas. That's goofy. And people say that about heaven. It doesn't matter which road you're traveling, they all lead to heaven. No, they don't. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's His death, His burial, His resurrection. And when a person realizes that they're a sinner and understands the condemnation of their sin and goes, oh my goodness, that's not what I want. And realizes that Jesus came to pay the penalty for their sin and embraces Jesus Christ by faith, receiving what He did on the cross of Calvary as their payment for their sin. The Bible says that person is born into the family of God, forgiven of their sins, and has eternal life in heaven. That's been the message. That's been the priority. Get to every man. Get to every woman. Get to every teenager. Get to every boy and girl in the whole Kankakee River Valley area. Get to as many as we can. As many as will listen to the story, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's what Jesus told Peter and Andrew. He said, you follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, folks, all over this room this morning, I'm looking around here. I'm seeing people who got saved in their homes. I'm seeing people who got saved in church. Here at this altar, folks who got saved in the old building, folks who got saved over in the gymnasium when church was over there. I see folks who've been saved from all areas, all walks, home, church services, different places, all different educational backgrounds, all different financial backgrounds, all different red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Because the message that Jesus saves touches every human being. I guess that's my question this morning. Are you saved? That's been the priority. That's been the thing. get the tracks out, take the buses on the road, get the people knocking doors, send the money to the missionaries. The message, the message, the message, the message, the message, the message, the message of Christ. Are you saved? Do you know for sure that when you draw your last breath here, you'll enter that wonderful place called heaven? Do you have that nailed down? Are you sure? And if not, why would you wait? Why would you linger? I feel like I've seen over these years, I've seen God's Holy Spirit reach out and start to draw some men to Christ. Seen those men visibly moved and yet watched them put the brakes on. I'm begging you, friend, don't put the brakes on any longer. If you feel that tugging, if you feel that reeling, if you feel that working in your heart, that troubling you and saying, you know what? This is more than just the passing of time on Sunday morning. This is a message from God's book, from God Himself, from my heart. And you feel that struggle in your breast. You feel that struggle in your heart this morning. Don't put the brakes on. Don't dig your heels in. Man, look. Throw all your pride and throw all your excuses and reasons to the wind this morning and come receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved. Phew. But, no, there's no buts. But no. I don't know if God, He will. He will. If He's drawing, He will. If He's not drawing, He won't. That's why you don't get saved when you want to. Get saved when He says, come. 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 And friend, I don't know what your excuses or reasons or whatever it might be, but if the Holy Spirit of God is saying in your heart, come, if He's drawing you to Christ this morning and drawing you to salvation, you don't have to wonder one minute if He will. He will. If He's drawing you, He will save you. No doubt about it. Isn't that a wonderful message? A wonderful message. That's been the main message through all these years. And by the grace of God, may it continue to be. Now, I want to do it with the right spirit. I want to do it in the right way. I want to do it with the right position, the right stand. I don't want to do it wrong if I can help it. But above everything, we got to get the message of Christ. Keep it first and foremost. That's what matters the most. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please don't tune me out. Please don't tune me out. Listen very carefully. Just a time of personal. We bow our heads and close our eyes because this is a very personal time. But please don't tune me out. I wonder this morning who would say, in all honesty now, in all honesty, just be honest. You're in church. My goodness, you don't want to be dishonest in church. In all honesty, you can say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. And if I died right now, I know where I'd go to. I know I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind and heart about it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you please raise your hand if you can say that this morning, if that's your testimony. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. God bless you. Now, listen, if you were sitting there this morning saying, okay, I was honest, I didn't raise my hand. Now, let me ask you, I wonder today, you'd say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. I don't know whether you saw me or not, but I didn't raise my hand with the others. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't know for sure that I've been saved. Would you raise your hand, please? Just slip it up. God bless you. And I see that hand. Is there somebody else? I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. You raise your hand this morning. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that? I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, Pastor. I don't know if you saw me or not, but I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? The Spirit of God. God bless you. Somebody else. I want to pray for these this morning. I appreciate your honesty. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach this morning. Not really preach, but just testify a little bit about the ministry you've given us here at the church. I pray, Lord, that you'll please speak to hearts all over this room this morning. Would you please draw people to Christ? I beg you to draw people to Christ today. My heart yearns for that, Lord. I know yours does. More than mine, more than anybody's. I know you want folks to be saved. And your Spirit is working on hearts this morning. Please draw people to Christ today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one is looking. If you're not sure that you're saved, you raised your hand just a moment ago. Would you look at me just for a moment? The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're saved. We have people that can help you go over the Bible verses and talk to you real quickly. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Why don't y'all come and let somebody take a Bible to show you this morning? That's right. God bless you. Maybe some verses on assurance. And we'll get Brother Tom there. And Brother Caleb, you want to talk about that? Brother Tom, please. Anybody else? We come this morning. Are you being drawn to Christ this morning? Are you being drawn? Is there that tugging in your heart, friend? Is there that little, that pull, that draw? I'm not going to twist your arm because I can't do that. That would be wrong. But my goodness, if Christ is drawing you, I want to give you every opportunity to respond. Anybody else this morning? We come. I'm not sure that I'm saved. And I feel the drawing of Christ on my heart today. Pastor Angel, anybody else? Would you come? Let me show you from the Bible about that. We'd be happy to talk to you this morning. Have a lady visit with you about it. Anybody else? Or a man? All right, who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know, I'm sorry. You know where you're going when you die? You're saved and you know it, but I haven't been baptized. Haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism yet. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Saved and saved but not baptized. Anybody like that? Would you lift your hand this morning? Anybody that has not been baptized? Okay, God bless you. If you want to follow the Lord this morning in believers' baptism, now's the time to come. Take care of that. We'll get you ready. That'll be a blessing, all right, while we wait this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody else like that this morning? We have something to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Great. All right, just a minute here now. Is there anybody this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I know where I'm going, I've been baptized, and I've talked to you or somebody about joining the church, and that's what I feel like God wants me to do. If that's you this morning during the invitation, when the music begins, you come right down and talk to Brother Caleb, tell him you're coming to join the church, all right? And then the rest of God's people, let's be thankful in our hearts this morning for what God has done here through these years. If you've been saved through the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, be thankful in your heart, no matter what year it was. 1968, 69, 79, 89, 99, 09, 13. Be thankful in your heart that you're saved and you know it. And rejoice in that this morning. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lord, thank you for the privilege to have the service this morning. Speak to our hearts, I pray. I pray even now that you draw men and women to Christ. In Jesus' name.